All right. Also remember there will be a prayer team up here after the service. If you need prayer, please take advantage of that. We have some people that faithfully come up each week to pray with you. And so after everybody's going out, you can come on up so nobody sees you. Okay, if that's, I don't know what the, you know, what it is for each person. I remember when I was young, I hated crowds, and I would not have gone if there were people staring. And look, so now I don't even get it anymore. All right, Proverbs chapter 15, please, in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you. We're going to be studying 1 through 8 today. You know, I have a friend that, a distant relative, family relative that sees everything from a negative side. They just have this bent of being negative and more than the positive. Not that the person doesn't have positive moments, but more of a compulsive complainer. You know what I'm saying? Always complaining about this and complaining about that. And a negative evaluator, when the person evaluates, it seems like all it does is just kind of go down the tubes, you know. And if he gave a report on us this morning in this church, I guarantee you he would have a sheet of all the things that we're doing wrong and could do better. And because we would not live up to his standard. And yet so many ways the person is nice and... But what I realize is he allows his tongue to get a little out of control. And I think most of us have those friends and relatives, right? Say amen if you got somebody in your life like that. Yeah, okay. And the rest of you just aren't listening. just kidding. I feel like joking today. I don't know why, so I got to stop. Debbie says, don't do that, honey. You're not funny. Yeah, I think, doesn't every wife say that to her husband? Okay, I just, yeah, all right, okay. You know, we have those people in our lives, the friends, the relatives, the bosses, the teachers, that have little good to say about people or things, recognizing the deficiencies, and I really think that all people should be perfect, but then they're self-forgiving, right? Isn't that interesting? Okay. And if you and I don't measure up, they believe it's their responsibility to let us know in some way, positive or negative. Now, the question I have this morning that I want you actually to turn to each other and give me a couple emotions. How do you feel about being around that type of person? So turn to your neighbor and friends and let them know. See if you can state it in an emotion. Okay. What are you doing? How do you feel about being around that type of person? If you were listening, I was talking about the negative, you know, kind of person. And how does it make you feel? And so I'm just saying, can you say it in an emotion like lonely or happy or whatever it may be? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Hang on for a second. Okay. Okay. All right, good. Okay, so somebody said, who said that? Irritated, okay? Oh, that was you? Okay, yeah, all right. Anybody close to you? Oh, no.
Nobody here.
Yeah, any here, anyway.
Dread?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's a huge dread. That's a great one. Anybody else? Okay. Yeah, sucks the life out of you. In fact, today in our Proverbs, it tells us that. It's very interesting because it does do that. And then how do you feel about a person that's always encouraging? Man, we like hanging around them, don't we? It's almost like we'd like to take one of those clips and put it to their belt so they can't get away. Yeah. Yeah. This morning we're going to talk about wise up about the tongue. And I'm doing a series called Wise Up About Life through the Book of Proverbs. So I'm just picking different subjects and that I believe that will help us. And today, I think this is a very important one because I think we need to do what God says from the Proverbs that I'm using, some of the gospel and Paul's epistles and so on and so forth to support what I think the Proverbs are saying. So we're going to go to the next slide. And I'm going to read the white and you're going to read the other. We got a little bit of reading to do, but listen to me. I want you to not only yell it out because we honor the Word of God and God and His Word, right? But also think about what you're reading, okay, and what I'm reading. A soft answer turns away wrath or anger, right? Interesting, isn't it? We could close the service with that. To be able to have that soft word, okay? The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. Yeah, boy, we know that, don't we? The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Ooh, that's a little scary, isn't it? Every time we talk bad, He's right there listening, right? Or if we talk good, He's right there listening, okay? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Okay. A fool despises his father's instruction. Correction is prudent. Yeah. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure. Oh, isn't that interesting? In the righteous house, there's treasure, but in the wicked, there isn't. There's big trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Wow, the prayer of the upright is His delight. Man, there's another sermon, right? You know, the tongue. You know, I as I thought about this, I thought, boy, it's a really important part of our culture when you stop to think about it. We have so many sayings, or I just thought of a few. I said that tongue-in-cheek. Right? Okay. Or are you tongue-tied? Will you quit sticking your tongue out? Why is that such a big deal? Right. And yet we laugh and we get offended, you know, and the little kids, you know, like my little grandkids will go, you know, like so they don't get called on it, but it's there. That's a real tongue twister. Cat got your tongue? You know, in school, most of us learned that our tongue and our heart are almost all muscle. And unlike the heart, which you have no control of because it's part of the involuntary nervous system, our tongue is very under our control, according to the Word of God. It's under our control. Sometimes we feel like it's not. And it's a good escape when we say, oh, I really didn't mean to say that. Oh, yeah? Yeah? But it's so important. It's the only way we can speak and sing. And have you ever thought about this without a tongue? You can't even whistle. And the Bible agrees with this importance. I want to read from the book of James on the tongue. And it's a little bit long, but you can follow along. In James chapter 3, that's really towards the back of your Bible. And I'll start reading. You can catch up with me if you are having a hard time finding it. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Boy, I hate that verse. Sorry. For we all stumble in many way, in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest the little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And the tongue is also set among the members, meaning the parts of the body, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude, the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. In other words, you can't do both at the same time. You know, as James says that, you notice that he says our tongue is a world, basically a world of evil. It corrupts our whole person and it sets us on fire. And he said, no man can tame the tongue. And so we really have to watch it, right? If we can't tame it, we have to be very careful and make good choices. And you thought it was just you. But we're all in there, amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And Jesus says the same thing. I want you to read or see this out of Matthew 15, 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. You know, how many times have you seen somebody said, well, I had too many drinks when I said that, and I really didn't mean it? I thought, is that really true according to the Word of God? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. In other words, what goes in the mouth isn't the problem, it's what comes out of the mouth, right? And what Jesus is saying, that our mouths are an indicator of what's in our heart. And if it comes off our tongue, it is definitely inside our heart. And because all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's standard, our tongues have a lot of bad stuff, okay, to work with, right? I mean, think about this for a minute. Have you ever eaten something and a couple hours later, and there's just no good way to say this. I was trying to figure out how I could couch this, okay. But a couple hours later, all of a sudden you erp. And it kind of comes up a little bit. Do you know what I'm saying? Kind of burns the throat, maybe even a little bit of nostril problem. Have you ever had that happen to you?
Yep.
Or is it just me?
Nope.
Oh, okay. It's disgusting, isn't it?
Yep.
It's absolutely disgusting. Oh, I hate that. And it's like the first thing you want to do is run and drink, take a drink of water, maybe get a certs or something and get something going. And you think to yourself, I wish I'd never had eaten all that. Because it almost leaves a bad taste at ever being able to eat it for a while again. And so it leaves that bad taste in our mouth. And Jesus, this is just exactly what Jesus is describing. We swallow or take in some foul or foolishness at that point. That's only temptation, right? You see something, you hear something, all that's temptation. Now, a lot of people get confused and think that's sin. As soon as they hear it or they're tempted, that's sin. No. That is not according to James. He really spells it out. That's just taken in as temptation. It's the stuff that comes out of our hearts that comes out is truly harmful for you and for the people around you. And Ephesians says this, Ephesians 4, 29 through 32, and we're going to read through that section. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, for necessarily teaching and knowledge, that it may impart grace. Wow. Acceptance, right? That it may impart grace to the hearers. You know, I don't know why, but because the tongue can't be tamed and sometimes our heart maybe also, the momentary impulse always seems to be the opposite of what God wants. You know what I'm talking about? Man, somebody will say something right away, you think, I should tell, you know, and sometimes you do it, and every time you do it, you get burned, right? Every time you do it, you're so sorry afterwards because you lose a friend or you get a wife mad or a husband mad at you or whatever. And It's just the opposite of what God desires. And I'm going to be honest here. It's hard for me to imagine. I don't know if it's hard for you, but it's hard for me to imagine what it would be like to come to this church even, let alone in our families, and follow the Proverbs, follow what John's saying, following what Paul's saying, and have a sense of positiveness and helping people, admonish them for their good and because you love them and it's what's best for them. Having that culture, wow. I think we'd all want to take that little deal and hook our to somebody else's belt all over and never go home. We'd probably start potlucks and everything so we could hear this just positive talk for one day to fend off what we hear in the world all week long, you know. That everything that we say would be helpful. No cutting statements or gossip. No negative assessments. No accusations, harmful accusations that are not even thought through, or negative assumptions that are just made without real evidence, or no one offended. Oh my gosh, that would be cool. Now notice that Paul says, and I'm going to read this from another translation so it makes it kind of clear. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Okay, now I just want to be quiet for a while. I want you to think about that. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Is that your strategy? And I know that it is strategy of many people sitting here today. You know, Paul continues in 4:30, he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, which is shouting and insults, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, with getting even or evil planning. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, you know, a lot of times when I've read these scriptures, I think, well, that's a nice option, right? Oh, to be kind and tender. That's not an option, that's a command. In the Greek, it's a command. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Our job as Christians are to show kindness and compassion with our words, but too often, many of us don't do that. We irp up bitterness, right? You know those people. You talk to them for a few seconds, and you can see they're bitter. And if you tell them, you're in trouble, right? Because they aren't bitter. What do you mean? I'm not bitter. And then you see all that bitterness come on their face. Rage, anger, shouting, insults, and considering evil thoughts towards others. And the problem is thinking right, that that's the right thing to do. Oh, but it's not, is it? What are we doing? Who do we think we are? You know, when I stop to think about that, when we let that stuff loose on somebody else, do we think we're God? Or do we think we were chosen by God and he put the mantle of judgment on our shoulders and said, you go out and judge people? Now, I don't remember reading that anywhere. I mean, to dog someone when they make a mistake or they don't meet up to the standards rather than doing what's best for them. And we keep piling it up and revisiting it on a daily basis. And eventually, spontaneous combustion happens, right? And it takes place and the whole house burns down, so to speak. Look at the list that Proverbs gives for the negative ramifications. And I want you to say these with me. They're in yellow, okay? A harsh word stirs up anger. Well, that's pretty clear, right? A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Reckless words pierce like a sword. A lying tongue hates those it hurts. Wow, I don't know how to make that more clear. It seems clear to me, doesn't it, to you? these type of things God wants us to use with our tongue here in Proverbs 15. I want you to read these with me. Can you go to the next slide? Thank you. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Okay, does everybody get that? A gentle word turns away wrath. When somebody comes at you with fire, the gentle word slows it down, right? The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. Yeah, we use the word of God, right? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. The lips of the wise spread knowledge. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Let's do that one again. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Oh, man. These are the type of things that God wants us to use our tongues for. Now, you know, we even have proverbs in our society, and they're kind of fun, but I'm going to give you a movie. Do you remember the movie Bambi? Now, I can remember when I was a kid, we had Bambi crying, Bambi's dad, you know, and it was fun. And, you know, there's a little rabbit, and you remember his name?
Thumper.
Okay, and Thumper had a line for Bambi that said this: if you can't say anything nice,
don't say anything.
Oh, you've seen the movie. No, that became a total society saying, isn't it? I can't remember how many times my mom quoted that to us kids growing up. Now, a variation of this wise saying by another wise man said this: it's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Isn't that the truth? I mean, that is really true. You know, Proverbs 15 tells us by choice, our choice. But he also wants us to open our mouth. He's not saying, well, close your mouth and then nothing bad will happen. What he wants you to do is talk about good things and use our tongues correctly. Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Isn't that true? And what are those good things? We're to speak well. We're supposed to spread knowledge, it says. The tongue of the wise commends. It means to speak well of or hold in high regard knowledge. Whose knowledge? God's knowledge, right? So it's obvious that the Proverbs thinks that we should spread that knowledge. Now, Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. David praises God for the knowledge he received, and he says, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. And it was a time that David wrote that when he was being chased by his enemies, and yet he became the wiser one of the two. How many times have you read when you're reading in 1 Samuel, or I think it's probably 2 Samuel, but I know for sure in 1 Samuel, where David's being chased by Saul, and Saul answers him wisely, and King Saul says, oh, David, you're such a wise man, and I'm such a fool, and he go back to Jerusalem as a result of it, just out of a soft word, out of a soft word to a king in respect. Okay, so I want you to write down on your bulletin the application for this morning. Okay, get out your bulletin. Don't just sit there. Get out the bulletin. Get your pen out or borrow a pen or write and that kind of thing. Bring pens from now on because we're going to keep that on the bulletin. Okay, and look at some of your notes. I know you are scribbling notes hard. I can see that smoke coming up from the paper, you know. Okay. And I want you to write down a convicting thought about the tongue that kind of the arrow hit your heart today from what God was saying. So if we embrace what Solomon said, God's thoughts, a gentle answer turns away wrath. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. The lips of the wise spread knowledge. or Paul's admonition, don't let any wholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only which is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I'm going to challenge you this morning. Would you be willing to come to church from now on with that positive knowledge, with that positive talk, encouraging each other? And if there's an issue, can we do it in a positive way rather than a negative way? What do you think? Yep. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'd love to live in that church. Wouldn't you? And, you know, we get all the negative all week long. It probably would be like this river of life coming out of us if we were be able to encourage each other and build each other up, just what Paul's saying. And then it would be a benefit to those who listen. If we encourage each other, whoo, I think sky's the limit. What kind of prayer does the Lord delight in? Do you remember? Righteous, yeah. Oh, James says a righteous man's prayer avails much. Same kind of thing. In fact, I think that probably James was quoting that proverb. This would be a real place to grow, my friends. And this would be a safe place. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.